Hey, it's the Film Drunk Fraudcast. Ben is out this week. He's in Hawaii. It is the lunatics running the asylum. I'm Vince. We were just freestyling, and no one could stop us. No one was here to ruin our fun. We got Brendan here. I think he's a little drunk from his work party.
Why did we stop freestyling? That was fun. I was having fun.
I could do that for an hour and a half. You were getting a little red in the face. Somebody wasn't training up for the event.
I had to crank up the music because I was not prepared for that.
You mayhemed the freestyle.
I did. I mayhemed the shit out of the freestyle, which leads us to our topic for tonight. I got Ryan Harkness from Fight Linker coming on. We're probably going to talk about a little MMA stuff. Hopefully it won't be too boring for you non-MMA fans. I did see a movie this week. We got emails. We got lots of stuff to talk about.
What movie did you see?
I saw Young Adult with Patton Oswalt and Charlize Theron.
I heard that was good.
I saw that listed.
Who did you hear that from?
I've been reading on Twitter, though. I take that back because I think everything I read about it was retweeted by Patton Oswalt.
Oh yeah.
So when you find something out on Twitter, sort of through absorption?
Yeah.
Are you like wafting the twat?
Kind of. That's sort of what it's like. You sort of get a general sense of what the stank be like. That's kind of like how you find information out on Twitter. I'm trying to see what that stank be like. That's how it works.
And someone was wafting it, so you just sort of assume whatever they're wafting is the way that things are.
Vince has like some Dr. Steve Brule hair going on right
yeah.
now.
I have not cut my hair in a really long time.
Hey, we're just podcasting, dingus. Everyone knows this is squash.
People are always shocked because, like, people that don't have frizzy hair don't understand how completely different your hair looks. Like when you haven't put any product in it and it's just like in its natural state, because it legitimately does look like cotton candy.
If you saw Vince with his head shaved, you'd be like, "That's a handsome man."
just retard flavored cotton candy.
Yeah, basically. Well, you guys with straight hair, you go out without anything in it, and it looks basically the same. Whereas, like, when you have frizzy, like a frizzy fro hair, it looks completely, like, it's a completely different size and shape. And
that cotton candy just made me think of you as a carnival booth attendant handing out funnel cakes to crying children, just bawling their eyes out.
I hate the clown man.
I have to live like this every day. Something for your sweet tooth.
Yeah.
Like our friend Extremo.
Oh, God. We should have him back on.
No, we shouldn't.
Why not?
He seemed well-adjusted. Yeah,
yes. Brenda, in case he's listening.
Brenda, did you see the Three Stooges trailer yet?
No, I haven't watched it yet. I heard it was good, but it was like three people who've never
heard of it. Wait, did you hear this from Twitter?
yes. No, actually, I didn't even mean that I heard it was good. I read Drew McGarry's summary of it, which sounded very funny, which that was good.
I missed that.
Yeah, it was funny.
That's cool.
From his good... Sorry.
It's cool you read Drew stuff. Don't read my side.
I've been drinking all night. From his summary of it...
Just mind banging other bloggers and not feeling any remorse.
Yeah, and making Vince watch me.
You can watch it.
Oh, are we going to do
this? I think it'll mostly translate.
Let's watch
audio.
All right, let's do it.
It's a lot of sounds.
It was a blessed day when through these hallowed gates a stranger rode and delivered unto them a miracle.
That's pretty cool that guy just threw a duffel bag full of babies.
Yeah. This
spring. What is that gadget?
This is an
iPhone. I can get behind that.
iPhone.
Uh-huh. Hello? Hello?
It's up to his eye.
Get some mold.
Spread out.
Mind your
That's a man.
Feet. Don't forget to dot the eyes.
Poked in the eyes.
Larry.
He's got a headache.
No, I don't.
How about now?
Yeah, it's coming on.
And Curly.
Hey, guys. Yeah.
Oh, hiya, Sister Bernice.
There's something different about you. Did you get a haircut?
From 20th Century Fox.
You got any dynamite?
Yeah, he's got a lobster in his pants.
That was good.
Oh,
that's my all-time favorite sound effect.
The Three Stooges.
Hiya, Snook. I got you a present.
Really?
Yeah, go on, open
it. Oh! Oh, man, you laughed at that.
Yeah. I'm easy, if you haven't noticed by now. It's farts and slapstick comedy.
I liked it when the bell hit the man.
And yeah. So I feel like half the people are like, oh, man, this is the worst thing I've ever seen in the history of mankind. And then I'm sort of indifferent. I think the concept is pretty terrible, but the execution didn't really bother me that much.
No, it's fine. I mean, let's be honest. Like, we all love, like, Dumb and Dumber, and it's like one of the funniest scenes of that movie was a guy having diarrhea. Like, let's not pretend like that was like fucking high art or something.
The,
you know, like,
the single funniest moment I think in all cinema is him caning the back of his leg.
I was just
going to
say that. Yeah, I was going to say that, like, exact same thing.
It's so stupid.
He just takes
it's
a big baseball swing.
Yeah. I feel like that's a missed opportunity here because they've done amazing things with ultra violent slapstick now where it's just there's no seam. So it's just they go ragdoll right when they get hit in the nuts. And
or like
bust
Jackass
them.
Is just like the taking slapstick to its logical end.
Oh, well, the giant hand?
Yeah.
Oh, I could watch that
cause it's,
nonstop.
Cause it's real.
Right.
They're not faking a reaction to it.
I do sort of like the over-the-top sound effects, though. I have a soft spot for those. Yeah. But, like, I also, like, hear, whenever I go to, like, family reunions and stuff, I always hear about, it's like, Brendan, you would have loved your grandfather. He used to sit and watch the Three Stooges for hours and drink bourbon and laugh his ass off. Yeah. Like, me and him, we could have gotten along pretty nicely.
I mean, all the celebrity cameo stuff was pretty terrible.
Yeah, that's tacky.
Yeah.
Especially, like, giving Mo a tan. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I did. I
that's,
laughed.
That's
at
not going to hold up. In 5 years, we're going to be like, oh, remember that time we watched that?
Yeah.
And now feel dirty?
It's going to be like when we looked back at Limp Bizkit.
I'll just say that I laughed at the Snooki part solely because of the sound effect.
Yeah, the
boink, boink.
Yeah. Boinking someone's eyes.
Yeah.
Which
Vince actually did one time at a party in college.
Oh, God. with a cast on.
Are we going to tell a story about me getting in a fight? I've gotten in three fights in my entire life. Are we going to tell a story from every single podcast?
But you should have been in more. You're a pretty brutal antagonist. You just crawl under people's skin and make a little fucking
You're like
mess
a heel
there.
In wrestling.
Yeah. You are. You're the bad guy.
How so? So the good guy would have been wearing a scarf? I don't think so.
That's how you could tell they're the good guy.
It's not like Johnny Football here where the scarf was blowing in the breeze.
There wasn't even a story there. Some guy was talking shit. You were in a cast.
You were on crutches.
Yeah. You Three Stooged him in the eye and then crutched your way away before he could react.
Well, he uttered the famous last words, what are you going to do about it?
Well, all right. Yeah. So these stories make me sound way more meatheady than I think is fair.
Oh,
but
guess what?
Yeah. I'll accept some of it. I was standing on the stairs in my crutches, and I think that day.
Hey, I used to be in meathead denial. Then I shoved a parking cone up some loser's ass.
Did that feel good, man? Yeah, that really. I feel like I found out something there about myself shoving that cone up that guy's butt.
I'm glad we could go on this journey of self-discovery together.
Turns out I'm a meathead. Anyone want a high five over this?
That was a Billy Madison reference.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was standing on the stairs. I think it was the day. It was like a few weeks after I had surgery on my ankle. And so I was walking around this stupid party in crutches. And I was really...
It was the kamikaze party.
Yeah. And I was bitter about everything because my Vicodin supply had run out that day. And I was, I'd been taking like five or six a day up to that point to, make my foot feel better. And some guy was just like sort of shoved past me on the stairs. And I was like,
it was in the line for the bathroom, wasn't it?
Yeah, oh, yeah, but we were on stairs.
Yeah, and the line had spilled out.
And
on
when
the
you're
stairs.
On crutches and someone bumps you on the stairs, like you're very close to falling all the way down all of the stairs. So I was like, oh, what the fuck? And he was like, fuck you, man. What are you going to do about it? And this just incensed me that he just treated me like a cripple, so I poked him in the eyes. And that was pretty much it.
And it went boink.
Yeah. I wish it would have went
and
boink.
Then a lobster fell down his pants. It was like
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, listen, I won't try to get all like high horsey on stuff. I will watch the shit out of that movie.
Really?
Yeah, I'll watch it.
That's a bold statement.
Netflix.
I'll watch
that's
it.
A Netflix occasion.
No, I'll watch it.
Because I don't know, the Farrelly brothers. I feel like even some of their classics, they feel pretty dated now. Not Kingpin, but
yeah,
definitely Something About Mary feels very dated.
I still
dated
like
now.
Something About Mary, but I did have a long talk about Kingpin this morning, and I was saying that Bill Murray is just like at the height of his comedic powers.
There's a lot of goodness. I mean, there was Randy Quaid, and he's nuts
great
now.
Yeah.
He's the Star Whackers.
Right.
They got him.
He escaped to Canada.
What are you sniffling for?
I got the hiccups.
How was your holiday?
I'm like Andy Cap.
No,
I'm like Andy Cap over here.
How was your holiday party?
It was good.
I went to Amy's last night, and it was free food.
Amy works at a bar,
yeah,
by the way.
No, I know, but she had a holiday party.
Yeah.
And dates Vince.
Yeah. At a steakhouse for the second year. And last year, I went, and it was kind of like, ooh, I don't want to order anything. I didn't want to be the asshole that orders the most expensive thing on the menu. But then the whole time they're like, oh, whatever, this is a tax write-off, blah, 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 you know, and then everybody's just going nuts.
Right.
So this year I went and I ate more than a dozen raw oysters, probably two orders of fried calamari, some bacon-wrapped shrimp. Then I put down a full wedge salad, which is it's basically just a wedge of lettuce that's a cup for
quarter,
blue cheese.
Quarter of a head of lettuce.
It's a quarter of a head of lettuce that they just use to soak up blue cheese and bacon. And then I ate one of those giant bone-in ribeyes that's like 30 ounces.
The old 96er.
Yeah. So if I fart constantly during this podcast, it's going to be what happened.
We accept you for who you are.
Gobble, gobble, wee. You guys want to do some emails?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Which was your favorite?
I like the one that was... hey, I have these two horrible scenarios, and please give me advice on what to do. Should I read it?
Sure. Well, let me do this one. Last week, I submitted ideas for what you think would make a good Film Drunk YouTube show or a web show, and I got one. This is just a part of an email from Matthew, and it's just number 8. That's his 8th idea for a show: pedophile dating game. Vince claims that pedos have game. Well, now is their chance to prove it. Vince will invite 3 pedos and 1 young boy, and they will each go on a date with the child. Then after all the dates, Vince will sit down with the child and go over the dates, watching segments of the date on replay.
It's so simple.
The one pedo the child picks will be the winner, and the happy couple will get an all-expenses-paid vacation to Thailand. Everyone loses if the child becomes depressed and blows his brains out. Matthew. That was pretty good.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
This is my personal favorite. Mm-hmm. sup, frauders. So, first of all, please don't use my real name. Can I go by Bubba Sparks? I guess if you want to. Okay, Bubba, I'm 26 and thinking about a career change. Right now I work as a TV reporter, which isn't very cool. You got that right. The only people that approach me or tend to think that my job is exciting or interesting are old ladies. I get paid like a dipshit. $12 an hour, and I dislike the majority of the small city lame fart wafters I work with. Also, I don't like the city I live in. All the chicks are ugly. Last week, I got offered a job making more money in my hometown and home to some mid-range tang.
He must live in Bakersfield.
Right.
Sorry.
I thought we narrowed that down.
Did you just throw a shout-out to Bakersfield?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was more like a shit-out.
Oh.
A shit. Shout down.
Oh. Bakersfield Drunkards.
Is that like a Bakersfield-Fresno rivalry?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that's a valley. That's some valley shit. You wouldn't understand.
It's either that or Riverside. I was gonna talk
to you. Oh, yeah. Fuck Riverside.
Bakersfield Drunkards represent. The job is marketing for a hilariously hard-to-define company. Customer-managed something sales reps. The downside is that I would start off in a part-time trial period of 3 months, and if I'm a good fit, then they put me on a salary for about $50-$60 a year. I have people I can stay with rent-free, not my parents, so making a small amount of money starting out isn't that big of a deal. I'm confident I'll fit in the company, but I don't know if it's worth the risk. Should I stay in an interesting job that I hate, where I make poop money, or take a chance at a job that's probably less stressful, kind of lame, but making way more money in a city I love?
I mean, I think it's pretty clear that the second one is the
well, yeah, I love. Should I? How
should I bang this ugly chick that I like, yeah. or this? Or should I bang this hot chick that I like, or this horrendous troll beast that I hate and throws bananas at my?
Tell me what's interesting about the job you hate and make poop money.
It's like beer money.
It sucks. I hate it. I get anally raped in front of people every day.
All day long.
But it's interesting. So.
I get a lot of stories.
Yeah.
I think that's the obvious answer to that one.
Yeah. What was. Brett, I believe you answered that email. Did you not?
It was more the addendum to that email that I answered.
Oh. Yeah, the addendum was it was funny because last week we read someone's email who didn't like fake Brett. So this week there was like 10 emails about like fake Brett rules.
Fake and, Brett, you are loved.
And so the same guy was like, unlike apparently everyone on the planet, I love fake Brett. Maybe I can relate though, having known a few lame, flaccid, probably suicidal, wet blanket, sad, unlovable friends myself. I know that the only way to truly project their uselessness is by inane impressions. and the other day I was walking around wearing my film drunk t-shirt and the president saw me and said, I'm President Barack Obama. Fraud on. Cool story, huh? So then Brett's response, Dear Bubba Sparks, honestly, if I were in your position, I wouldn't waste my time with either of those two options. With your background in television, natural PR skills, and biting wit, I think you've got a bright future in sucking my dick. Yours in blanketry, Brett.
I saw that. I was like, that's totally something Brett would say.
I find it hard to resist a good asshole email, especially if it's in form letter, right?
I submitted a request for voicemails right before we got on, and... this was the first one I got, which I think says a lot.
Hey, this is probably never going to get played on the show, and I don't really want it to, but you're talking about
right too late.
Not the right one. That's not the right one.
I kind of liked where we were going just out of spite.
Why would you leave a message that you
so,
don't want to play?
So, this is Brian. I've posted a couple of times on the site under BDragNet, and I've never listened to the podcast. What? Give me the clip that most exemplifies the broadcast. I guess I'd have to listen to this one then.
Dear Brian, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Dear Brian, listen to the broadcast. Sincerely, the undersigned.
This person likes the Steven Seagal game, so you guys can suck me.
Yeah, I forgot to say this in my last two voicemails, but you guys that aren't Vince, you guys are wrong. That Steven Seagal porn character game was, porn actor game, was just crazy funny, and it was awesome. And it's made me laugh in public like no other podcast has. So, good night and good chins.
Yeah.
I like how that's the third voicemail that guy's left.
There's nothing worse than when they suck up to you.
Right? Oh, should we
it's play? It's like.
I also like that good night and good chins got translated by Google Voice as so, comma, good thing, pigeons. I don't think that comes through during.
Yeah, it's just,
oh, really?
It's just
it's
music.
It's all video.
It?
Yeah. I'll post
that's
it.
That's right, because it's all pictures. Yeah.
That was good, though.
Someone put together
that.
A good cut up of me saying, I'll suck your dick. And pictures of Willem Dafoe, which was eerie, actually.
Well, we got Ryan from FightLinker about ready to go. I think we should have you do impressions of different MMA fighters.
I don't know if I can do that, but...
I think you're pretty good at impressions.
FightLinker sounds like a World War II disease, right? Like when... Oh, he's got the FightLinker.
Oh, I've got the FightLinker.
You know, you'd catch it fighting Jerry.
Yeah. The Kaiser. He doesn't know whether he's on.
Or the
we just sort of. We didn't even have Ben to edit this out later.
Oh man, what are we gonna do?
Like he would anyway.
This thing's a disaster. This is gonna be the lost broadcast.
It's not home.
Hello.
Why won't you answer? Oh, there he is.
Sorry. I was getting some water, so I wouldn't sound like Kermit the Frog.
Oh, that's cool. But frogs live in water.
They do, but. I do not.
Food for thought. We're already recording because we don't really edit or anything.
Oh, so this is like live and stuff and this is just going?
Yeah.
More lazy
than
anything.
So don't say anything your parents would be ashamed of.
I'll do my best.
Yeah, so that's Brendan over there, the one that sounds lower, and then the other guy that's an asshole, that's Brett.
Nice to meet you guys.
Pleasure.
Hey.
We're online. We're online on the air. I don't even
ASL.
Know.
ASL.
Yeah. We're on the air with Ryan Harkness from Fightlinker. How you doing? How's it going?
I'm doing okay. I'm kind of unprepared. I just ran down. I've been slamming beers all night, so I'm ready to talk movies and MMA.
Oh, you think you have to be drunk to talk to us? I see how it is.
Wait, we have to talk about movies?
What, you guys aren't alcoholics? Isn't that how it works?
Well, yeah, but...
Exactly.
I always try to convince people that, like, it's a serious site. Like, oh, no, it's film drunk. It's like punch drunk, you know? You're drunk on films, and then, like... But then I realize I'm usually drunk when I'm telling them that. So
and then you do a movie, but you're not in it because nobody loves you.
I guess it works on both levels.
Yeah, we used to have another podcast called The Happy Hour, and we were always shit-faced during it. It was good fun.
So you're out in Montreal, correct?
Yes, we are.
Did you grow up there?
Basically, it's good ass. I grew up like 2 hours outside of town in some little Anglo shithole.
What is the deal? I hear good things about Montreal every time. I know there's a lot of Canadian listeners and readers that I have, but I've never been out to Montreal, and I hear good things. Like the strip clubs are crazy, and you can just put like 3 fingers in every stripper's ass out there.
Yeah, basically. I mean, I used to just think it was, you know, we got that touche legal thing, so it's you get to touch because it's legal. But other than that, I used to think that was all that used to go on, you know, that no sex in the champagne room thing. But I went to a bachelor party just recently in Montreal, and there was a lot of things going on in the champagne room. So, yay. Yeah, I think that's Montreal. It's the Europe of North America.
Fair.
in the hand job sense of it.
What's the French-English breakdown of Montreal? I mean, is it mostly French or mostly English, or how does that work?
Everybody speaks English, but only about, there's like a 30% group of people who really don't like doing it and will make it a pain in the ass for you. So mm-hmm. That's kind of how it breaks down.
That's how you can tell the Frenchies. They speak English with contempt.
Well, this is sad. I'm on the complete other end. I've been here for like 6 years and I don't even speak French, and I kind of refuse to do it, and it sucks because French girls, you know, so
they didn't make you learn French in school and all that.
They tried, but like many things I didn't pick up in school, French was one of them.
Because every time I watch Jeopardy, you know, Alex Trebek, I don't know what part of Canada he's from, but every time there's anything remotely French, he makes it such a big thing to show that he knows how to the proper French pronunciation of things.
He's also big on alcohol.
You know what's funny? Is since we were talking to a Canadian guy, I thought you were about to be like, every time I watch Degrassi High, it's like, I really thought you were going to say that.
I've actually never watched Degrassi.
No, I'm not sure
I thought
what
it was
that
Degrassi
is.
Even.
What is that?
It's the show that Drake the Rapper was on as Wheelchair Jimmy. And he was still a sucker MC back then. I'm going backwards. Maybe I should start from the beginning. Actually, maybe the guy from Fightlinker can fill us in. He knows better.
What, as far as Degrassi, I have seen about... I saw like 3 or 4 of the old one back where they had like the punk girl who got pregnant. And then
Spike.
Yeah, exactly.
Is this like Saved by the Bell?
It was like 90210 before there was 90210.
It
was Canadian 90210.
It was teenage melodrama.
Yeah.
902 double z- zero.
Double Z?
Never mind. I'm going to rescind that one. I'm going to see if I can get that email back. I love when publicists do that to me sometimes where they'll send me an email and then like two seconds later I'll get an email that says, so-and-so would like to retract their email, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't think it works like that.
You can do that in Entourage. You can like take it back. It's like, no, that came through. I read it. It's gone.
So before we get into MMA movies, I do want to talk about that. But I think we all watched the Ultimate Fighter finale. Brendan had a question that.
Yeah, my question was, everyone seemed very, I actually really liked Miller. And I thought that Bisping did a great job of playing the heel all season. And Miller was like a lot of fun, and he seemed very genuine and not trying to be like the fake crazy guy, but actually was just sort of like a fun, free-spirited dude. Was totally pulling for him in the fight. He got his ass kicked, And then it seemed like everyone was being very apologist and like, oh, yeah, it was an adrenaline dump. There must have been some adrenaline dump going on. And, like, I don't know, I played American football at, like, a pretty high level, and I don't have no idea what an adrenaline dump is, and I've never heard that as an excuse. Like, I don't know. What's your take on that?
It's a common thing that they talk about in the UFC. The UFC jitters, how guys will get in, and by the time they even get to the ring, they'll already be kind of half gassed out just from the adrenaline. I don't know if that's the case with Miller. I see it happen all the time. It's basically kind of the same thing as just saying you got nerves. So, I think Miller was probably more ring rust. I mean, the big dig on the guy is that he's a TV personality first and a fighter second, and he hasn't fought in forever, and he just rarely fights. There's these long periods of times where he does nothing. So, you know, he gets in so rarely, it's kind of not surprising that he's going to fuck up a couple.
They were talking about the last time he was in the UFC, I think it said it was 2006, which, well, yeah, you know, but 5 years ago. And then they're like, since then, he's 9-3-1.
And painted a shed, and he mowed the lawn a couple times.
I saw his other fights, and he always did pretty well in his other fights against pretty high-level competition. Like, he did well. I mean, he got laid on by Jake Shields, and everybody gets laid on by Jake Shields, and he kind of had a choke at one point, so that was kind of impressive. He beat, he beat Tim Kennedy, and then his fights with Jacare, I think he was doing pretty well before he got disqualified in the last one. And he's really good. And as far as the adrenaline dump thing, I mean, like, I think it's different for football because it's not as cardio heavy. Like, I never had that in any other sport, but. Like doing a jiu-jitsu tournament, I feel like that has happened where, like, you think you have good good cardio, and then you go and you're like you're going so fast at the beginning, like more so than you would otherwise, because you're kind of like amped up, and then 2 or 3 minutes later you're fucking like twice as tired as you ever were before. So I don't know if that's exactly what happened, but
oh yeah, there's this kind of thing. When I was a teenager, I got held up when I was working at a convenience store overnight. And when it happens, you all, like, the adrenaline hits you, and afterwards it's like you can't really do anything. You're exhausted, you're shaking. It's just that kind of thing can happen. I mean, these guys are about to get into a fight in front of, like, what? I guess that night was just 2,000 people, but it's typically, you know, 20,000, even 60,000 at the big arena shows. So you got to figure that, you know, adrenaline-wise, it's probably a couple of notches up above some other sports.
Were they French-speaking toughs that held you up?
French speaking
toughs,
hoodlums.
They're good. Actually, mix. It was like these. They're these French kids. They look like rats.
What did they
basically.
Say? What did they say to you?
They just kind of came in and they jumped over the register, and I basically had to chase them out from behind.
So what did they say?
Stood outside the front door, waiting for me with a knife.
What did they say?
I don't really remember what they were saying, actually, at the time.
All français?
All français? No, they were calling. They knew I was English, and they were commenting on it. I hate this. This is making Quebec seem like this weird segregated English French hellhole. It's not Northern Ireland or anything like that. It's just.
Oh, I always just wonder what the cultural breakdown is, because every place has like their own weird like. Like when I was in Finland, they're still technically a bilingual country, because even though only like 10% of them speak Swedish, because like the Swedish speaking Finns are kind of like the upper class sort of thing, and I've never quite understood what the breakdown was like in Quebec, because
rough. Well, George St. Pierre said he had a really bad upbringing. I don't know if that's just standard, you know, bullying through teenage years, or if he had some like crazy gangs in his weird backwoods French high school. I don't know how that works, but it very clearly, when you're looking at GSP, don't you see kind of this nervous tick, kind of this who obviously was mocked through high school and now he's the best in the world and he just doesn't want to get made fun of anymore.
Yeah. When we had to do the Grand Slam competition with Koscheck on The Ultimate Fighter, that was like weirdly hard to watch.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
You watched
about
that? It was weird because he was out of the thing that he had mastered, right, and back right into high school.
Yeah, he's like, I do not know how to swing the baseball bat.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the guy is—he's one step away from being Monk. We filmed some training stuff for this magazine called Fighters Only, and watching him train, if he fucks up one thing, he starts freaking out about it, and he just gets into this mode where he wants to do it over and over again. And even if he does it like 10 times right, he'll still, you can tell that he's still pissed off that he fucked it up once. And it's kind of interesting to see a borderline personality disorder to a degree in someone who's so awesome.
Well, that's like one of the things that I always liked about MMA is that there's such a diversity of people involved. Like, you really do get people that are just straight fucking meatheads, like Matt Hughes, where he's just like the biggest, just like the most stereotypical jock asshole. And then you get other guys that are definitely nerds that sort of got into it in the first place because, you know, they're learning karate first, and that's like most of the people that do learn martial arts. I mean, you go to any martial arts.
Oh, class, growing up, all the kids who knew martial arts were dorks that got picked on.
The vast majority are really like dorky. So this like. Yeah, it's funny, and then, you know, and then it makes it more fun to watch because you're, you know, rooting for someone to beat up the meathead guy, basically.
Well, there's always this big push to kind of clamp down on what fighters are saying and how they're showing their personality, because some of them are dicks and dicks say dickish things, or sassy Mexican guys like Miguel Torres are going to make jokes about rape, and it's just going to happen. And it seems like media wants to push.
Miguel Torres is great. I love him.
Oh, his Twitter is off the hook. He's retarded. So that guy, I can understand why he did not win any Twitter awards. It was way too offensive.
So who's the biggest dick in the MMA game?
Well, I think it's funny. I mean, I don't want to step on your dick here, but I think it was funny where you said Bisping was playing the heel and all that. And I think certain guys play the heel, but I think Bisping genuinely doesn't know what a dickhead he is, which makes him such... like an even more perfect dickhead.
I agree with you to a certain extent. I think he's somewhat neutral. I'm not sure.
I feel like Koscheck knows when he's being a dick. Bisping was a little bit. Yeah.
But speaking from someone who gets a lot of hate mail, the way you sound in your head is different from the way you sound broadcasting to the public in general. Like, me talking to you and being a dick is hilarious for us, but me like broadcasting my dickery out is not as well received among people I don't know.
Yeah, you can't help it. Every so often, Bisping is going to do something like tell a crowd of fans to fuck off.
See, I love that. It's just like, yeah, fuck you. Fuck your love.
Who is the biggest dick in MMA?
Right now, it's Chael Sonnen, and, you know, I'm kind of
like one of the Diaz brothers, or
everybody who's been following the sport for the last 2 years is sick of Chael Sonnen and his act. Well, okay, yeah. I am. I am forced to blog about it every day.
Agree,
sometimes you just feel like you want to put a gun to your head and pull the trigger. Someone help me.
Well, the thing about Chael Sonnen is, like, if I was just reading about his stuff online, I mean. He is kind of amusing. Like, he does say like funny things that are funny in their dickishness. I mean, he goes so over the top where he's like, I saw the Nogueira brothers come to America. They tried to feed a carrot to a bus the first time he was in America. You know, like, if I was just reading it out of context, I'd probably think he was funny and kind of enjoy him. But when he was in the Bay Area for the fight against Anderson Silva, I ran into his entourage at a bar that we frequent. And, man, they were like, I thought it was an act. I don't know how much of an act it was, because I think for whoever was in his entourage, it was not an act.
Yeah, I remember I heard about that later, and I got mad that I wasn't there because, like, I wanted to be there to, like, break a pool cue over someone's head. But, like, the other thing about Chael Sonnen, too, is, like, he had that whole thing. The thing that it just bothers me about him was you would never hear of another athlete talking, injecting their worldview and their politics into the sport to the extent that he does, where, like, he had his whole thing where he talked about the reason he lost that one fight was he's like, Republicans don't lie on their backs, you know, someone else on top of, like, all that. That's the worst thing ever. That'd be like a pitcher being like, well, you know, Republicans don't have good command of their forkball. So,
yeah, Republicans don't throw curveballs.
Yeah, that's why I gave up that home run in the World Series.
Yeah.
Well, you got to take him like practically a pro wrestling character. And in that, it's genius. And I don't even mind it that much. My big, if there's any serious rub I have with him other than just, you know, it's every day with him. It's the fact that he basically got caught doing the new kind of doing steroids. He said he has low testosterone, so he's taking shots and stuff like that. It's the new juicing. It's somehow allowed, and he's basically out there grinning and laughing about cheating with steroids. And I don't even know where I stand on the steroid thing. I don't even really care all that much. But if all these rules are there and we're just not going to ignore them, it just seems kind of strange.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like I feel like you either have to ban it or just allow it. Because like the whole, ooh, I got a doctor's note because I have low testosterone.
It would be great if they encouraged it and you just see how freakish of a human being you could build.
Yeah, like, I'm all for
like,
that.
Like just awesome. Specifically for receiving, right?
Where I've heard depressing stats. It's already apparently possibly up around 80%.
That would be rad. Like they come out for like to touch gloves and then one guy just turns into the Incredible Hulk.
He's got huge hands just to touch gloves.
Like in the Ludacris video.
Yeah, like in the Spike Jones Ludacris video. Oh, I would pay $1,000 to watch that fight.
Watch the shit out of
that. He's just punching fire hydrants.
Yeah.
But it's going to be really interesting if everybody does get so much stronger that the next thing you know, someone's just going to punch right through someone's torso and the fist is going to come out the other end.
Oh, yeah, like in the Terminator.
It's going to be game over. No more MMA.
Also, you can't really reintegrate. Once you've trained specifically to be violent and chemically altered to be violent, it's not like you're gonna react really well when
like
the cab
Rambo.
Driver yeah, what
he's like Rambo
he's, yes
yeah
yeah you can run out in the woods
right
all them bumpkins are gonna be hunting him, but he's that's just all he knows, man. It's just all he knows. It's, making war is like breathing to him.
It's like to understand
when you pushed
to understand war.
Killing's as easy as breathing.
Must become war.
Remember when Rambo was friends with the Taliban? That was an awkward time for us as a country.
In Rambo 3? Yeah, and he played like the goat stealing game.
I don't remember that part.
They're all riding around on horses trying to steal the goat carcass each other.
Yeah.
That was Rambo 3. He's got some line, too. It's like,
these guys don't fuck around.
Yeah, these guys don't mess around. Like some line like that.
That's why I always say I get sick, so sick of like this whole thing where people are like, "Oh yeah, Ronald Reagan won the Cold War."
No, like, Rambo won the Cold War. Did you not watch that?
First of all, Russia won the Cold War. They got capitalism, and we didn't really get shit except for a bunch of terrorists mad at us. Now I feel like they got all of the benefits of the Cold War. I don't think we really got any benefits from that.
Really?
What benefits did we get from winning the Cold
War?
Well,
the point of the Cold War was outer defeating space? Communism, which we did.
Dude,
no, we didn't.
Outer space.
Yeah, we did.
There's still communist countries. I
mean, what are you talking
about?
Yeah,
but they're North Korea and Cuba. They're completely... I'm not arguing that it was a good or bad thing. I'm just saying that like at that point, the objective was defeating communism.
It's not like we ever had to live under communism. We didn't defeat shit. We have the same life, except now...
Dude,
we got
I'm not arguing with you.
People trying to fly into buildings.
All I'm saying is... But the point of the Cold War was not defeating
your argument
terrorism. Here? It was defeating the Soviet Union and
see?
The threat of communism.
He's an antagonist.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying the main beneficiary.
He's just getting in fights and bars. Look, I just think Russia's great.
No, the main beneficiary
like
is
the,
Russia. We
you're
didn't
like
really
the
get
Iron
shit
Sheik.
Out of it. We didn't get shit out of it. I can understand if
I put the American in the camel clutch. Make him humble.
Hulk Hogan is a faggot.
Fuck the Hulk Hogan.
But the great thing about Chael Sonnen is that he's basically that. He is a Republican, American, rah-rah, American number one. Croatia sucks. We'll roll in and kick their asses.
Why is everyone picking on Croatia all the time?
Guy. That's who he is.
He's like, and it's weird because he's from Oregon, and Oregon's like the most liberal state in the country, and he's like the Republican version of the Iron Sheik. He's like Iron Sheik in reverse.
Oregon's kind of funny though, because there's like those rednecky pockets, those Chael Sonnen-y pockets,
and the weird survivalist libertarian,
right. But then there's also very granola parts of it too.
Powder keg,
yeah.
Oregon,
my folks got some property up in Oregon, and it's interesting to say the least.
Was you just got like a chunk of forest up there?
Yeah.
What's that like with your dad?
It's weird. I don't want to talk about it.
Do you kill things?
There's. I used to shoot squirrels with my slingshot. Sorry, fake Brett.
Slingshot, really?
Yeah, I had a slingshot with like a buckshot. I just got like buckshot BBs.
If you could kill a squirrel with a slingshot, that's some Rambo shit right there.
It's not that hard. They come pretty close to you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're dumb as shit.
Or you
man.
Just have like corn nuts in one hand.
Pretty much.
Are they just not expecting it? They're sitting there waiting for another corn nut.
They're fucking everywhere, man. They're like, oh, it. Because at that point, they're vermin.
Hitting them with a rock.
It's not like, oh, wildlife. It's like, oh, there's a cockroach. That's
trusting vermin.
Yes.
But disgusting. I mean, I can't even imagine the idea. If a squirrel actually came up and touched me, I think I'd lose my mind because it's just one step away from it biting me with its little devil fucking whatever the hell it's got teeth.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sometimes they bite you, but, you know, you let them come up, and sometimes they bite you, and sometimes you just feed them corn nuts, and, you know, that's the best chance you have to get them real up close, you know?
I draw little kisses.
I can't do anything with this. So did you end up seeing Warrior? Because I never got to see that movie.
Yes, I did, and it was a watered down miracle, and
just like Brendan.
It's hard to say too much about it because it was just so meh. I mean, in the pantheon of MMA movies, which, you know, there's a pretty low standard, it does it does okay. You could show, it's a good introduction, show it to your mom, or if you have a nephew that is interested in what that violent stuff you watch is, it's a good introduction, I guess.
I never saw it, but our friend Joe King, who's another frequent guest on this podcast, he said he saw it, and it was like, it was so cheesy, and it was like the audience was like guys in Affliction shirts that were literally in tears.
Well, the way it worked is, this is the funny thing about it. It was sponsored or produced by Tap Out in one way or another. And if you want to know how that works, it's kind of like a product placement. So every half hour or so, there'll just be a random shot of the Tap Out guys, you know, skyscraping punk ass. Like in the back of the room, they'll just like, they'll be in a gym and they'll look over, there's the guys like, hey guys, and they're like, yo. And it happens, I swear to God, 7 or 8 times. I wanted to do a contest where we said, guess how many useless cameos these guys have in this movie, but the movie people didn't like it.
I pictured the Tap Out product placement agreement, like that scene from Alien Resurrection where they got the people's heads down and the alien eggs are fucking opening up and they're just like, hey, guess what, you made $20,000, but on the flip side, you're getting impregnated from a space creature.
Yeah, 10 years from now, everybody will look at that movie and it'll just, it's got ads in it.
And
it's got ads.
Aliens will pop out of their chest.
Yeah.
I feel
so bad that dude from Tap Out died, because now I feel like I have to temper how much shit I talk on that ridiculous, stupid company.
Is it the guy with the
RIP mask?
The mask guy died?
It's the worst, because so many, let me tell you what, you can't throw a rock in the MMA scene without hitting somebody in the head who was like best friends with the guy. You never say anything. I run this comedy site. I never, ever, ever, no jokes ever about him, and it's, you know, sometimes it's hard because we all agree that the Tap Out company is an over-the-top ridiculous thing. The reality MMA show is the most hilarious thing ever.
Yeah,
movie thing.
MMA and comedy is kind of like an oxymoron, right? Like, it's hard to combine the two, so, like, it's not really,
how
like...
How dare you? Joe Rogan is the UFC's main commentator.
It's not really a community known for its sense of humor, so it's like, as soon as you, like, make a mass joke, it's like, hey, bro, not cool, bro. That's not fucking funny, bro.
Yeah, I think I did some post for Uproxx where I talked some shit on Mask, and it's always a very delicate dance because you're like, no, I realize the company has done so much and, you know, sponsored all these fighters that needed money, but also they're exactly the whole problem with the entire thing.
Like, it's just the whole meathead thing that we don't get. I mean, the way I look at it is, there's got to be, what is it, 90% of the sport, 80, 70, I don't know, throw around fucking statistics, but there's a huge contingent that is those people. I don't know those people. Whenever I see fans, they aren't those people, but, you know, I don't go out to strip clubs and like nightclubs where they got a guy in a fucking monkey suit deciding if you're going to go in or not. So I don't understand that entire scene. Meathead culture is so another world. Watching Jersey Shore is like watching a documentary on space aliens.
Yeah, it's very confusing. I mean, because there's definitely two very different contingents. I have like my friend, like one of my friends, he listens to the broadcast. So he's probably listening right now, but his name's Luke. He's had a few professional MMA fights, and he's like a surgeon. He's like legitimately a surgeon. And that's like half the people that I know that like MMA. And then the other half, like, I'll go back home to Fresno, and it's like half the town is the
bloodthirsty rednecks.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
I've got a bloodlust. They must be satisfied.
You know, we could solve this if we just made them fight.
That's true. Oh, if only.
If only there was some sort of ring. But what shape would we
There was only some sort of octagonal
but
container.
What rules? What rules?
How would unified? Would they be unified?
How would we keep them inside?
I gotta ask.
Surely you don't mean a chain link fence.
Do you know who Hector Echeverria is?
No.
I do, but only because I'm a. Only because I read the MMA blogs, I feel like I have some of his trailers queued up. If we need to hear one of those,
I don't know. I have never watched actually the trailers. I checked out the movies. They're perhaps the worst things. And if there's one thing that I could do on this podcast, as far as like telling people, if there's one thing I wanted to tell movie fans about, it's like if you don't like MMA, if you just like shitty action movies, then Hector Echeverria, oh, magnifique.
He's like the Steven Seagal of direct-to-DVD MMA movies.
He is basically the Steven Seagal of Argentina.
Is that where he's from?
Yeah, in the 80s or early 90s, he was in Los Exterminators, which was like the biggest South American movie ever. Like, so he's huge down there. And now he uses that fame or money or whatever to make the same movie.
You need to frame it
over and over.
You need to frame it as he's Argentina's answer to Steven Seagal.
There is no answer to Steven Seagal. That question is unanswerable.
Because your throat has been ripped out.
It's too late. You can't ask it.
I got a couple trailers. This one's for Death Warrior. They're remarkably similar.
Punch kicker.
Dick puncher.
Take you against your will. Bet millions on your chances and force you to fight to the death. Now, the world's top MMA champions face off in the ultimate challenge.
The rules are, there are no rules.
Wait, what? How does that make any sense?
Rampage Jackson. George St. Pierre. Rashad Evans. Keith Jardine and Hector Echeverria.
They all have the same god-awful music.
Yeah.
I think there's
that mid-90s energy. I call it jock rock. In a way, I kind of like it. I got a jock rock playlist queued for any of those times where I really just need to get ball pumping. But
or when you're forced to fight in a tournament you didn't agree to join.
Yeah. When you find yourself in a kumite.
Which happens when you are the world's greatest martial artist. Very important. Hector is always, in every movie, the best martial artist ever. All the other people always complimenting him on how amazing he is. Even Quentin Jackson in that movie. Hector kills Quentin Jackson, like, easily.
What?
And then Quentin's like, you're a better fighter than me. Ugh! And then he dies.
To be fair, when Rampage and GSP are doing movie fighting, it doesn't look good. Like, they don't know how to do movie fighting. Like, you watch the... Or maybe it's just that they're horribly filmed, but...
Maybe with Quentin Jackson, it was basically he was telling Hector in between takes, you're better than this at me. And they just kept it in because, hey, we got Quentin saying that. And who cares if it makes him look like a jackass?
That's kind of what they did with A-Team.
Yeah, basically.
Just kept filming.
They just kept filming. It's like, he's just mumbling through that. But whatever. We're going to let it go.
What if we made the helicopter do a flip?
You keep your ear to the ground. You know what the skinny is. Is his career, like, what's going on? Is it flatline, or is he going to show up in some stuff, or is it just...
I think he's, I don't see anything coming up on the horizon for Rampage. No. He's a very, I'd watch a reality show with him, but he's not the greatest actor. I think he's hilarious in person.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'd watch a reality show with him.
Yeah.
We did. There was like two seasons of The Ultimate Fighter, and who watched that?
Yeah. Just him and a house full of women, just for him to sexually harass.
No, it's got
to
be him in Japan, because those are always the best videos.
Right.
So he's like walking around the sporting goods store
with like an inflatable pool.
The women
pool.
Are more submissive.
Right? So. Can he have an inflatable pool?
I'm just finding more and more videos of him doing crazy stuff, because I made like a compilation video right before my YouTube video channel got nuked of all of the rubbing up against women that Quentin Jackson has done. I just found a new one where he's doing it to Bass Rutten's wife. So there's always going to be new footage of him sexually molesting or harassing somebody.
Well, she's probably an open-minded lady, Bass Rutten's wife.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you think when they're hooking up in bed, like Bass Ruth,
he's got
like,
a really good idea. Wait for it.
Sorry, having a hard time keeping like, it in.
Don't you ever bang-dity-bang-dity-bang-dity, like while he's like fucking his wife. Bang diddy bang diddy bang diddy bang.
I don't know if that was worth it, but I like your enthusiasm.
Ding dang dong.
Yeah.
Dang da dang.
You know, he has an entire show that's just him doing that. Yeah. It's like a half an hour slice of that YouTube series.
It's like
over and over.
What's it called? It's like
Fuel TV.
Yeah, like Boz. Like it's not punk. It's like something punk is in.
Yeah, it's the worst Boss show ever. Like, punk payback.
Like yeah, punk payback.
You thought
yeah.
it was going to be something like Bully Beatdown, where you know they have some sort of reality to it. It's like, no, Boss Rutten's going to tell you what to do if a guy comes into your 7-Eleven holding a giant stick. Like, what do you do? It's like, well, you just take it from him, and then you just kick him in the nuts, and then you stab him with a pen.
Okay, here's the deal. You have a booth at the Renaissance Fair. Guy comes at you with a flail. You go, hey, don't you ever with ye old flail, I break your head with the bong, the bong, the bong, the bong.
Oh, that was good.
Hey, thanks.
You're welcome.
I'm glad you guys approved.
I did.
We're doing real-time feedback
really,
now
really,
on the broadcast.
You really stepped it up.
Oh, okay.
Cool. If only the show was that entertaining.
Yeah, it would be better. Now, we call that music, we call the MMA trailer music, I believe it's either Queefcore or underbite singing.
I've always liked rape rock.
Rape rock?
Yeah. That's pretty good, too.
I like underbite singing, where it's like...
Yeah, but it doesn't, because that includes then the Nickelback guys. But
he's Canadian. He knows what he's talking
that's
about.
That's Queefcore, isn't it?
I mean, that's definitely Queefcore.
It's a little lower energy than this is, though.
Okay. Well, there's like a weird genre of music that only exists in MMA MMA movies and like military
yeah,
channel
stuff. No, this is more Godsmack, less Creed.
Okay, all right.
I figure it's what happens when like a stagnant genre continues on. It's kind of like, you know, how trance was happening many years ago, and then all these people never left it, and they just keep on making it, and it's gone to this weird, shitty place. This is where that Nickelback rock went. After everybody else left,
they're like the Juggalos of the guy.
After
of
it was already shitty.
Holy shit! Do you guys talk about this while I was gone? Did you know Detroit had a statewide petition not to let Nickelback play at the Lions game over Thanksgiving?
Lions game,
that is the greatest thing I've ever heard.
But
well, they still play.
No, yeah, because so of the man.
Shitty, actually. Then it's just a big pointless
occupying Nickelback.
Yeah.
Well, how about we get some representation in these fucking choices? Put it up on the internet. Let us vote who we want at these games. Because Madonna at the Super Bowl, Black Eyed Peas, they're really starting to torture these people who are paying like what?
Dude,
how much is it for football tickets? $800 to $8,000.
Dude, the Super Bowl Niners thousands. Games are like $400 this season.
Really?
It's fucking insane.
And it kind of
shitty
sucks
seats are like $300.
Yeah.
Whatever, man. Bring back Prince. Did you see that video of like the press conference where Prince announced that he was going to be playing halftime?
No.
And he's like, does anybody have any questions? And then someone's like, yeah, Prince. And then he just goes, he looks at his band and they just go, duh! And they start playing. And then played Johnny B. Goode. It was so amazing. And then for halftime, he played Purple Rain, remember? And he did like that extendo guitar solo. Man, bring back Prince for the halftime show.
And all the QA sessions, right? Yeah. Does anyone have any questions?
Yeah. The whole band walks up, and he comes up last. He's like, excuse me, does anybody have any questions? And then the second someone has a question, his whole band just started playing. It was so awesome.
It should be like the Oscars. The good performers get to come back. Or anybody that shows any kind of adeptness at performing.
I don't think that's how the Oscars work.
So what you're saying is Billy Crystal should do the halftime show.
Hey, it's safe.
If that, then the Super Bowl halftime band would be like the Rolling Stones,
right?
You know who they have to put out there? Skrillex.
You guys are making me want to kill myself.
I like Skrillex.
I actually kind of like Skrillex.
I secretly
Skrillex.
Do too. It's
I
a
know,
shame
it's
inside
fucked
me.
Up. It's bad. None of us are proud of it. We all hide it deep inside.
I don't even know what you guys are talking about.
Yeah.
Sure, you're doing it right now.
I said that
but I like Skrillex because Skrillex was in a hardcore band before, and so he sort of like understands how to construct the music where he sort of like introduces like this idea as a riff, and it's different than like what we're used to is like an electric guitar that starts out, or it's more just like sort of like a weird electronic sounding riff, and then it'll build into a whole idea, and then there's like a breakdown, and then he'll go like halftime.
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. I don't love Skrillex, but I sort of like the way he structures his music.
I don't know if him being decent and enjoyable is enough to justify the nightmare he has brought upon us all.
I definitely did not say that. Yeah, because I agree. Like, yeah, what hath God wrought with dubstep?
Yeah,
because a lot of it is just dog shit.
Yeah. And it's easy to make dog shit, too. People are, like, just shitting in their hands and going, like,
oh, I have a MacBook Pro. Yes.
And not only is it dog shit, but it's really, it's going to be the most aggressive, bassy, just 50 seconds of, when it's not good, it's really not good.
Right.
That's the problem.
Yeah. Agreed.
I think, there's Hector Echeverria, but there's also this guy Andre Lima a few years ago. I don't think his MMA movie got enough play because it had Gary Busey in it. I think it's one of my favorite trailers, so I had to dig this one up. Should have fast-forwarded through this part. Apologize.
Doug, but not queued up.
Yeah, well.
It's atmosphere.
Yeah, set it up. It's gonna start any second now.
In a land.
In layman's terms.
In a world.
This is poorly mastered. Chest cancer.
I stopped fighting when my wife died.
Right now, you have a little girl in the hospital who's fighting for her life.
This is one of the riskiest professions in the world. Most of the fighters have nothing to lose. Everything to prove. These are 21st century gladiators. They want two things. Money and fame. And they'll kill to get it.
Your insurance doesn't cover this surgery, Chip.
The winner gets $300,000.
Who I have to fight.
Oh, God, that fucking audio is too bad for
it's
me.
It's awful.
To handle.
It's like Ben set it up.
I think... I think Gary Busey should give the pep talk before every fight, though.
Yeah.
Was that Gary Busey? It sounded like the thing. Fighters, they're animals. Don't trust them. They'll kill you.
Well, there was Gary Busey in there, and then there was the...
Michael Chiklis.
Random expository background guy who was like, these fighters, they'll kill for their fame. Don't trust them.
Here's the plot. It's a movie about wars in space. And there's a Wookiee.
You guys ever see on the bonus
coach.
Stuff?
Yeah.
I think I watched that at
Here's,
your house.
Yeah, I remember we were laughing about it. Here's a thing.
Here's a movie, and here's what it's about.
This is what it is.
What are you talking about?
So, I think it's funny that the Total Recall thing came out, because I watched that at...
We watched that. Yeah, we watched that like 5 years ago.
And we
ago.
Were giggling because it starts off with Arnold. It's like the Paramount one or whatever.
TriStar.
Yeah, the TriStar.
Pegasus.
It's like, here's me being a horse. Yeah.
Here's me as a horse, and I'm running towards the screen.
And it was just the bar closing on the roller coaster that was Arnold.
Right, and it gets worse.
All of his DVD tracks like that, where he just describes exactly what's happening.
That's the only one I have because that was actually given to me by a college buddy as a Christmas gift, and he was just like, "Hey man, I opened this so I could watch it before I gave it to you. I've watched the commentary track because my friend Sean, who gave it to me, is like a big time film nerd. So he's like, "Hey man, I opened it and I watched it before I gave it to you. I watched the commentary track. It's fucking ridiculous. You got to watch it." And, sure enough, once I got it, we realized how ridiculous it was.
Who directed that? Was that Verhoeven?
Yeah, it was Paul Verhoeven.
And he's sitting there with him, right?
Yeah, yeah. So you've got Arnold going like, and he's over-explaining everything. So he's like.
Because she's trying so hard for me not to see the news. You can see here with the eye. You know, no matter what I do, the kissing, the hugging with her, I'm more interested in what's going on Mars. Yeah. Here, this is my job. I'm a construction worker. And I'm totally amazed.
I'm looking at the gun. Yeah, so this is really this.
Exactly. How did I do that? Here's the great fight scene with Sharon and me. Ow, that hurt.
That's when she kicks him in the nuts. BT Dubs.
Continuously used him as a human shield. Then I threw him down the escalator. Now he just got the message that he should actually put a wet towel around his head.
This is also like crazy.
Exactly, yeah. So that they cannot,
still don't know.
So they cannot detect.
And they keep explaining that you don't know if it's going on or not, like over and over again.
It's like two confused foreigners trying to explain the same thing.
Because
movie.
You don't know, and that's the plot. You don't know. You don't know if he is crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
And he was explaining about that, you know, the escalator scene where they murder like every civilian that wanders in. He's like, you know, they made me cut it down because it was too violent.
Paul Verhoeven was like, yeah, and they took away the rating because it was too violent. And he's talking
as
about
as some dude's chest is exploding.
This scene, because they filmed that at the Air Force Academy in Mexico City. It's the Mexican Air Force Academy, and he's like, hey, so the architecture they use is called the new brutalism.
Mexico's got an Air Force?
Yeah.
But, Brett, the way I explained this was, remember when we lived with that one girl and she had the Venezuelan boyfriend and he would come over and he'd be sitting on the couch watching TV and it would be like the most simple show. It would be The Simpsons. He would actually be watching The Simpsons and like Bart would go by on a skateboard or just like the most completely like unnecessary to be explained thing would happen and he would just be sitting at the TV and he'd be going like, what? I just remember him constantly looking at the TV going, what? And the only way I could explain this commentary track, because at first when I saw it, I thought it was someone doing a bad Arnold impression because it was so bad. And the only way I could explain it was just like one foreigner trying to explain to this other confused foreigner like these questions that I never knew needed to be asked in the first place.
By the way, that was like the funniest inside joke for so long where like we would just be hanging out watching a movie and something stupid happened and we'd just go, what? We got a lot of mileage out of that joke. I'm just like, just watching a movie, and as soon as either of us shuts the fuck up, one of us just goes, what?
Well, because I could never figure out what he wanted to know. It'd be like Homer shaving, and he'd be like, what? And he spoke good English. It wasn't like he was, I don't know what he was confused about.
Perhaps it was just his wonder.
He's just
amazing. Wow.
He was like walking down the street trying to feed carrots to buses, and then he watched The Simpsons. What? Pictures?
Did this girl do some kind of like lobotomized, like a serial killer type thing? He was just sitting there half naked, wandering down the street. What? What?
She might have.
Yeah, it wasn't above her.
They were weird. I'm not gonna lie. She like showed us her art project once, and it was like,
was it cups? Were there cups?
All, like, naked.
Or glasses?
She was all naked in it, and she it was like,
score.
It was like a quasi sex crazy.
Did she
sex
do something
picture.
To her wall? Did she hang something up that involved like a bunch of cups taped to a fucking?
I don't remember.
Plank.
I just remember she was some sort of visual arts major, and one of her projects like was like a picture of this boyfriend with his like.
It was like a butt crack shot of them fucking.
Yeah, it was.
It was like a.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, what? And we were trying to play it off like.
I picture that as Hector Extravario watching his own movies.
What?
They need money or fame, and they'll kill to get it. What? I can't remember what else would he say.
Well, no, it was like
that
who
was
took,
pretty much all
who,
he would say when he was watching.
Who took that picture? You know.
Oh well, there's a mirror, probably a timer. I don't know.
What? Just trying to arrange the timer on a fucking camera like your grandpa while you guys are just pounding nuts.
Yeah, and it was not two people. It was not two people that you would want to see fucking either.
Yeah,
ain't that how it always is?
Yeah.
Usually.
It's like you watch those juggalo documentaries, and you're always waiting for the hot chicks with their tits out, but they never come.
They don't exist.
I don't know. The last one had a, like, I mean,
I
it
know
was
exactly
granted,
the one Vince
granted,
is talking
granted,
about.
Granted, it was only like a 2 second shot.
Just one girl.
Just one occasion.
Just one
of
girl.
One girl.
Me and Brendan were dumbfounded. We're like, how did that girl get? She had clowns painted on her boobs.
Did you have a juggalette crush?
I did. Yeah.
There
I
is
did.
One girl in this like 20-minute video who's very attractive, but she is the exception to the rule.
She could pop the top of my fago. That's all I'm saying.
Just space cakes.
My problem is I don't know where to go for these country redneck girls other than to the juggalos. They're the closest thing we have to like our trashy hillbilly type people. I can't get into that scene. It's outside of my latte sipping Montreal lifestyle.
They don't have like French Canadian, some sort of equivalent. I don't know what they do.
I know, but you know, you've got equivalents, lumber, but then you've lumber. Got the real deal.
Yeah.
It's my whole thing. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the weird hippie girls here. They're decent, I guess, but you know, they're not redneck, not like they are down in the South. Hating Obama for those things he did, the economies.
I think juggalos are exotic to almost everyone.
I'm not sure I've ever seen a juggalo in the wild, to tell you the truth.
Juggalos are just like really, really dumb ravers. It's like a couple of like when you're falling down that social thing. Like I was down in the States a couple of times, and the juggalos were like 4 or 5 steps below the rave kids on that social structure. So it's when you're hitting down to that point where you're too violent for the rave scene, too unstable for.
I think they wear the same Janko pants though, don't they?
Yeah, but you don't want to be moshing while you're on E. That's just too much texture too fast.
Do they still have those pants where like where they're so wide that they like cover your whole foot and like they go, they're like the same width all the way down and they're super huge?
It's a little place I like to call Hot Topic.
Fair.
Yeah, the goths took it over to a certain degree.
I mean, they're a weird offshoot of goth.
Whatever the hell they are.
They're like pre-hipsters.
I'm too old. I can't even designate what kids are anymore.
Fucking hoodlums is what they are.
Little scumbags, rat faces.
Are hipsters at some point going to wear Janko pants?
Yeah, full circle. Bring it back
it
around.
It goes full circle to where they have like the crazy baggy pants.
I don't know, but speaking of what the kids are doing, I wanted to get you guys' take on this this video from the Quidditch World Cup.
Oh, man, you hate Quidditch. You hate Quidditch with such a passion.
I just feel like it's proof that we've taken the whole anti-bullying thing a little too far.
Whereas you love it, Brett?
Huh?
You love it?
Yeah, I guess I double negative myself. I was just going to try and antagonize Vince.
We are here at the 5th Quidditch World Cup being held at Randall Island, New York City. This is 100 of us competing to hoist the greatest trophy in the Quidditch world.
We have 94 Quidditch.
I like the better one's called Ultimate Frisbee.
We've got 100 dorks here
playing a real-life version of the game from Harry Potter books.
There's snitches and bludgers and quaffles.
And we always have the people who dress up and wear the Harry Potter gear and like Harry Potter bands playing.
And it's just a lot of fun.
Harry Potter bands playing.
To be fair, I bet the sex that goes on in these things is fucking hot.
Really?
And just pale.
Provide evidence.
I've got friends who are into the whole nerds going to conventions and all banging each other scene. It seems not bad.
That makes sense. The Quidditch, not so much.
It's like the safe zone, right? Like you tag out and you're like, all right, everyone's safe here. Let's get naked and get to doing it.
They made it real.
So one thing I try to say to people when they ask me about Quidditch is I try to stress that it really is a sport. When you actually see it, you understand how physically demanding it is.
The Quidditch that we play is considered normal Quidditch.
Wait, pause. As he's explaining this, it cuts to the shot of them like cradling brooms between their legs as they knee in, hobble around this field.
So they're pretending to fly the entire time that they, like, with the broomstick between their legs. Going to have so much testicle baggery.
This next quote is my favorite of the video.
The Quidditch that we play is considered Muggle Quidditch because we're not wizards.
Oh, Christ.
Muggle actually means a non-magical person.
Oh, my God.
Because I feel like
we wouldn't want you to be misinformed. We just want to make sure that you have the appropriate information to decide whether
to know
or not Quidditch
that they're
is
not magical. You need to know this.
I have a theory about like the younger generation is strangely like wholesome, like the Disney Channel. Like there's a whole generation of all the actors coming from like really bad, oddly wholesome Disney Channel shows.
Do you ever listen to Henry Rollins' spoken word?
Uh-uh.
He was talking about how
a little bit of it. But
he was the
specifically.
He was the last generation that had music that was harder core than their parents. His dad would be like, "Oh, what the fuck is that? What the fuck is that noise you're listening to?" And he's just going to be like, "Dude, it's just
Ramones.
Fucking beeps." Yeah,
you are a pussy, and you don't ever want that to have to happen to you. You want somehow to be able to do something more hardcore than your parents.
Yeah, I feel like at some point, like I think just after us, the whole thing where you're supposed to be like more rebellious than your parents somehow went back the other way, where you're like, no, we're gonna watch I Love Lucy and
yeah, I mean, our generation got a little bit of that. We're all kind of pussies.
Yeah,
he's giving us some really sound financial advice. I should listen to him.
I should play the stock market.
I feel like with Quidditch and all that stuff, I feel like it sort of swung in a different direction than it was going.
What was it? Where was it going before?
To something a little less wholesome. I don't know.
Something less fucking lame.
I don't think it's wholesome. It's just that we've extended childhood out into your late 40s at this point. Where it's just like, hey, you want to be magical? Go be magical. No one's going to stop you. It's like
late 20s. Yeah.
Go be magical.
At least for us, I don't think it was. Tap I don't think
the
it
cash
was.
Cash register keys with your magic wand.
I don't think it was super cool to read.
You don't
like,
need a job.
Books.
You don't need a job. Tap the cash register keys with your wand.
We should never have gotten Brendan drunk before this.
Shut up.
You gotta turn your problems into a frog.
You're gonna turn your problems into a frog?
With the magic.
Like the solution to me.
Go read a book.
So confused.
As long as it's Harry Potter.
Man, this show goes to shit when Ben's not around.
This is the worst show ever.
My boyfriend's gonna be a werewolf.
Can I be a giant? You can if you say you want to be.
No, but that's another thing. Twilight, like all their popular things.
And another thing that's wrong
with
the kids.
All their popular things.
I don't like their stupid hats.
All their popular things, like all their main popular trends are like really like oddly wholesome, like conservative, weird. Like it's like the hot things are like the Jonas Brothers and Justin Bieber and then like an abstinence parable.
Also watching some guy die on the internet. So,
well, that's pretty cool.
It's a give and a take, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, he got hit with a bus and his head came clean off.
But is it all sexless and chaste as it's made out to be? Like the whole idea of Twilight being this whole abstinence thing and weight? Yeah. Or, because I mean, to me, I don't know, from the outside looking in, teenagers are little whores.
Yeah, you could watch Twilight and watch the mainstream media tell you how wholesome things are, and then immediately on your iPhone, tap twice and get double anal penetration.
Yep.
Well, but
so
it's always
you're just looking for your filth in the wrong place.
No, but the abstinence thing was always just a thin veneer of wholesomeness covering a wide river of whorishness.
The South Park sexualization.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the abstinence pledge people always end up being like the sluttiest.
Yeah. So what's your point? It's just getting more extreme?
No, just the...
You gotta show more wholesomeness so you can go home and jerk off harder to more depraved shit.
Yeah, like there's more of a disconnect between what you say and what you do.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, everyone's being a little less human these days, right?
I like how you punctuated that. That was a good ending.
Yeah, well...
Don't want to get too serious.
No.
Yeah, fair.
So you might be able to answer me this. Why did Warrior come out before the new Batman movie?
Well, they're not finished yet.
Hmm?
They're not finished with the new Batman
It's
yet.
A prequel.
I know, but if you've got Tom Hardy, who's going to be in the new Batman movie, you know, as the villain role, I don't know. I guess there's been some other movies where guys who have done that have become big and hot suddenly. So why would you release Warrior, you know, a couple months ago like they did instead of waiting until after the guy's a fucking superstar?
I don't know. I mean, that would require, because I feel like if they would have waited that long to release it, like they would have probably gotten bad buzz just on the fact that whenever a studio holds something for more than a year, people just sort of assume it sucks.
Like the Gina Carano movie.
Yeah. I saw a clip of it at Comic-Con. I thought it actually looked kind of good, but.
I'm hopeful, but I think Soderbergh is a terrible fucking director, and everything that he's done, like that infection movie or whatever it was.
Yeah,
that sucked.
You saw that?
I wanted my money back.
I didn't think. I mean, I went in like the funny thing about that movie was I went in thinking I was at the screening for Warrior, and it turned out I was at the screening for Contagion.
That is a fun coincidence.
Yeah, and you know, for what it was, like that's not a movie that I would ever pay money to go see, but for what it was, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I saw a. I was supposed to go see what was it, Contagion, and instead I saw Robot Jocks. And it made me like Robot Jocks more than Contagion, which is unfortunate.
You mean the
Real Steel?
Yeah, Real Steel.
Oh yeah, there we go. Sorry.
Oh, Real Steel. Real Steel was one of my least favorite experiences I've had at the movies in a while.
On the other hand,
Robot Jocks was sweet.
Robot Jocks was amazing. I would love to see a remake of Robot Jocks.
But you just did. It was called Real Steel, and they made it awful.
Well, yeah, they
broke
made
your
it.
Heart.
Yeah, they made it like a commercial for video games and reality TV and pro wrestling.
And
I got hope for this Gina movie. I mean, if she, my understanding is the photos that came out of her looking like a whale, like literally fighting Ewan McGregor on the beach in a wetsuit. It was not flattering at all. Apparently, those were the reshoots. So if she's smoking hot for this movie, maybe it could do some business because you know America likes smoking hot chicks. They seem to like Gina Carano.
I mean, it's basically the stock hot chick ass kicker movie that they've been trying to do, but at least they did it with a girl who looks like she might be able to kick someone's ass and not Angelina Jolie or Zoe Saldana. And I said the clip that I saw, like the fighting actually felt. I mean, you rarely see movie fight scenes that actually feel hardcore anymore. You never see anything like the Steven Seagal pool ball in the sock scene anymore where you're kind of, you know, you see everything happening and it's brutal. And it's kind of fun to watch.
He's like punching gun barrels into people's faces and cutting them all up.
Yeah. Now
the
Mel
Gibson school of violence.
Yeah. Now it's just like Jason Bourne where it's like so many cuts and blurry shots. You're not even sure exactly what the hell's going on.
200 cuts a second and shaky cam are the two atrocities of the modern cinema. There, I said it.
Hey, I don't care who I offend.
How come no one's done a supercut of
what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do, Billy? I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna kill them all.
Why hasn't anyone done a kill them all? I feel like that gets thrown around a lot.
I feel like there's a lot of things that get thrown around a lot. I feel like every third email is someone being like, why don't they do a supercut of such and such?
Yeah, those come from me, and
idea.
You don't do any of them.
I'm like, that's a
why
good
don't
idea.
We do a supercut of people suggesting supercuts?
Well, let me explain it. Explain it to me. Like, how long do you have to sort through movies? And like, how painful is birthing one of these supercuts?
Let's do a supercut of supercuts commercials.
I don't know. I had never actually made one myself. I tend to outsource all of them.
So complaining for something you don't have to do.
No, I'm saying, what am I complaining about? I know they're completely tedious. I'm not going to do one. They're way too tedious for me.
I am far too internet famous to have to edit things.
No, there's nothing worse than creating a popular feature on your website that is a pain in the ass to do.
Well, there is something worse than that, which is to create a mildly popular feature on your website, or a unpopular
maybe
feature.
Maybe some sort of
maybe
something that links to other websites.
Yeah,
maybe that's published in the morning.
You are not allowed to say that.
I'm not.
You are not allowed to say that.
Sorry, Mr. Uproxx, I give you permission to revoke my next paycheck.
You can't use his name.
Oh, sorry, Todd Uproxx.
You are going to get fired from this job you don't
shit.
Have.
Oh.
They're gonna suspend your pay for the week.
Fuck.
And what'd you decide on your stupid YouTube stunt?
What? No, I haven't decided anything yet.
With your gay hair and shit?
I hate you guys.
Hey, the internet's me and my gay hair.
I got some stupid hair. Put something
I made
on
you
YouTube.
A video.
I put something on YouTube with my stupid hair. And stuff.
My voice keeps changing. Will you be my friend?
Come on. The first step to creating someone's alter ego is a consistent accent. That's all you got to do. You can't even do a consistent accent.
Oh, I just need love.
Well, it's because we got more than one person. I've been consistent. I got weed-shaped junk. It's sitting on to the left of my crotch. It's in my gray sweatpants. It's weird.
He's not even making sentences now.
That's you. That's what you
I'm talking
like.
About you. Yeah.
Right. Oh, I got that. That part did come through.
You should do like start to finish, right? Because people seem to like the slightly behind the scenes mean spirited shit. So you should post a clip that's not going to get you sued, right? Like whatever the undercut is, and then start photoshopping the shit out of it, right? Where you're running commentary the whole time, maybe jerk it off.
What?
You know, like where this is going.
A little sexy touch.
I think you started off serious and then you just went completely.
No, I mean, you do a fucking, you slam a lobster dog in there and that's your video, right? Uh-huh. Like half screen cap, half you fucking, you know, making stupid faces or whatever the fuck you need to do to get your rocks off.
Thanks. This is really good advice. This is really good. I'm writing all of this down.
Right next to hobo orgy gone wrong in your notebook. Mm-hmm. Question mark? Hobo orgy gone wrong? Question mark? Who knows? Could be. Could be a stray dog wanders in. Could be their house falls down.
This is so far from reality. I don't know how anyone's going to listen to it.
We need Ben.
We do need Ben. He grounds us with something. With his motorcycle.
He uses his motorcycle for good.
He has a motorcycle, not stupid hair.
Yeah, that's what he needs.
Should I just go home?
We never found out what Gina Carano's lady problems were. That's what bugs me. I've having a vagina. I've asked her directly. I've had other people ask it in interviews, and she I don't know what it was. She dropped out of a fight. What was it, like a week before?
Yeah, something like that. It basically, I think everybody's suspicion is she just didn't feel like it. Leading up to the Cyborg fight, she wasn't showing up at the gym all the time like you kind of should before fighting someone like Chris Cyborg. So, and since then, her motivation hasn't really been there. So if she's not fighting to promote the movie, then I don't really think she's going to fight. So I don't think there was anything wrong with her. She just, they were kind of like movies being moved back. She just fucking said what she had to say to just make the fight go away, and that's just what happened. And they said, we'll just say it's a health thing. And everybody will pretend they don't know. Like, Dana White does not know why Gina Carano is not fighting on a card.
She should fight C-Tates. That's what I think.
I think she does in the movie, I assume.
No, but I mean for real. Like, they should have a real fight. I think it would be fair.
No, I mean, he's got delicate dick parts now.
Oh, yeah, that's all burned?
Yeah, he got all on fire. Mm-hmm.
I think
cock.
We're getting closer to like a man versus woman fight happening. I think that could happen.
Yeah, I mean, do you give a weight handicap?
I don't know because if you take someone like Ronda Rousey, who's like my big women's MMA crush right now, totally replace Gina in my heart with her. You're dead to me, Gina. But she's probably good enough to beat like a bunch of guys if they were around the same weight. So now we just have to take this to an unsanctioned state in America and make lots of money off.
She has to fight a bunch of guys. That seems unfair. Are we doing like the horse trading thing here, where it's all right? She got about like three dudes who don't know how to fight and a shark that's lowered into the ring.
No, with a shark
one night
is going to be
tournament, and we'll make money off. The internet.
We're going to release some wolves in there, but the wolves are all wearing blindfolds.
And we're going to strap the shark to the roof of a 69 Mustang, and then we're going to have a midget.
But no bumper. There's no bumper on the Mustang.
He's going to spray its gills with water to keep it alive while we drive it around.
Yeah, but the midget doesn't get a fight. He's just to spray.
That's what he does. And then, there's another person that drives and they make sure the mouth is facing the right direction.
Can it be a bear? And he's spraying bleach for the other midget with a shark on top of the car,
like at the other midget, just to blind him.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's two fights in one.
About. Yeah.
And this is why I kind of am sad that Japan is doing so badly at mixed martial arts right now, because they could really be doing some crazy shit.
Japan could do
on
this
that level, but you know, crazy
Japan
shit.
Japan could do this.
Well, especially, I mean, they're probably all like they're gonna have some nuclear.
They could use the mutants. Babies.
Yeah.
Seriously, all this radiation in their baby food recently.
Well, yeah, it's pretty much everyone's food.
But government says it's fine. Don't worry. Eat food. You good.
Eat food.
Make you very strong. I'm just going into my racist Japanese accent now.
Yeah, it's about that time of the night.
Yeah, I agree.
We're in that portion of the show. Brendan's like cross-eyed. Just doesn't even... Just looking at me all stupid.
Yeah. It does look stupid.
Should we play one of these voicemails I got, like, that I haven't listened to?
You did ask for them.
I know, but I don't even know what they say. I didn't.
You can read because the robot tells you.
I didn't vet these at all.
Good night, pigeons.
This one says, "Just thought I would relate my ant code for wars."
Play that one.
Yeah.
Just thought I would relate my ant code for wars. Possible move.
It's tap tap left, thorax right. War is coming. Signed the ant.
Possible move to take your parents to see an effort to reconnect with me and figure out what was like the person when I turned 21.
No. This is a mom thing. Get to the sexy part.
Hey guys, just thought I would relate my anecdote for worst possible move to take your parents to see in an effort to reconnect with me and figure out what I was like as a person when I turned 21. My mom took me to go see Sin City, and within the first 10 seconds, Mickey Rourke bangs the whore on the bed or on the heart shaped bed, and Bruce Willis blows the guy's dick off. There was no conversation during the actual film, nor was there for the next 2 months after with my mother. So thought I'd share that one. Have a good night, guys.
I feel like half of Sin City was people getting their dicks blown off.
There's a lot of crotch anger going on in that movie. I think three people took a hatchet to the balls.
A lot of crotch aggression.
Yeah. I think that's because that's like the last line in Hardcore. It's like, yeah, I got my balls in a wood chipper.
Lots of like, I guess like if you want to do pop psychology, probably lots of projection on the castration anxiety tip.
Tip.
Just the tip.
Off.
All right, guys, should we wrap this up? This is just a disaster when Ben's not here to keep things moving.
It's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad. I'm going to scratch myself.
I had fun.
Oh, don't. It's not your fault.
Not, no, not your fault. No. It's not your fault at all. No. Come on.
I was on the phone with.
It's all good.
Good night, Emporium.
I was on the phone with my travel agent for more than.
You have a travel agent?
Who does that? What? I didn't know that was still a job.
All right, this is what happened.
Is it a computer? Is your computer your travel agent?
All right,
Sally, you're wearing such a nice dress. No.
So I got a ticket. We spent like a month trying to find a decently priced ticket to Australia for January because our buddy Dan is getting married.
Oh, I love Dan.
And so we went through this travel agent, and they got us a pretty good price, and I gave him my credit card. And apparently, since I was putting like a $3,000 charge on this credit card that I hadn't used in like a year, they flagged it for the anti-fraud, whatever.
Yeah.
And it was at the end of the month, and that's when all the airlines raised their prices.
So in the time it took you to confirm,
like I confirmed it immediately, and then now the tickets are like $500 more, and so now I'm like stuck in this horrible feedback loop where I call. Where I call United, and I'm like, can I just get the same price that I had? Like, I have the documentation with like confirmation codes and all that crap, and they're like, sorry, you went through a travel agent. We can't, you know, it's the travel agent's fault. And the travel agent's like, well, I couldn't do anything. United didn't issue the tickets. And then I call the bank, and they're like, well, they were supposed to call us. They weren't just supposed to deny the charges.
Look, Vince, we all know how this ends. You poop on a bank, and then act like you didn't know who pooped on the bank. I mean, that's right up your alley.
No, the bank is pooping on me, man.
Yeah, man. I don't know who pooped on the bank.
Yeah.
Hey, Petty. You don't have to tell us why you're going to poop on the bank. We understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just explaining motive here for why the bank got poop on it.
So if any of you listeners out there have a
have a bank nearby.
Have a bank or have know how I can get a ticket to Australia for less than $2,000 a ticket.
Are you now hitching rides through podcast to Australia?
Yeah, it's got to be good for something.
If any of you listeners own a steamship, I would love to stow away.
$1,000 ticket to Australia.
That would be a hell of a steal because,
they're out there. Just no. Who knows where? I've heard stories. A friend of a friend.
Of course, that's what it always is. All right, guys. Well, I think we're going to wrap this up. Frogcast@gmail.com. Our voicemail, 415-275-0030.
Plugs.
What's that mean?
You should get a plug.
A plug? What kind of plug? Like a three-prong?
Yeah. Well, they can stick and do electrical socket.
Thanks, Ryan, from Fight Linker, my favorite MMA site. Fucking check that shit out. And Brendan, you want to?
Yeah, all right. Until next week, we will talk to you then. Good night and good chins.
Good night, pigeon.
Good day.
Good night, bowl of mush.
Oh.